Somebody asked me a shayla a couple of days ago that got me started thinking about the topic of tonight's shiur. They wanted to know, they were asked to write a recommendation for a job. Somebody was applying for a job to serve as a waiter at a non-kosher restaurant. So they wanted to know, the person obviously asked them was Jewish. I don't know how, what they grew from. So the person who presented the shot to me wanted to know, well, is that a problem with the Iver? By, in a sense, facilitating, by helping, by assisting the person get a job that supposedly is also to do, which we're not even sure is also to do, but assuming that such a job would be also to do, would that be a violation of Lifnei Iver, in a sense, causing somebody, helping to say, yeah, causing somebody to do a chay? So there are many, many reasons why it's probably not Lifnei Iver. Even on the side, even if the possibility is that such a job would be also, it's most likely not Lifnei Iver for other reasons. But it got me thinking a little bit, what is the din? What's the aloha in terms of the waiter himself? If somebody would call me and ask me a shayla, I want to be a waiter at a non-kosher restaurant, which means I have gotten a shayla before. What is the din? Is there anything really also, so to speak, about serving as a waiter in a non-kosher restaurant? I'm going to put aside any Lifnei Iver issues. Assuming for best case they're around the middle of Wyoming and there's no Jew around and we're not causing anybody to eat trafe, and even the person who's coming to eat trafe is Jewish, he'd be eating trafe anyway. They're putting aside a level of Lifnei Iver. Just the question itself, is there anything wrong? So presumably we have to address the shayla in two different planes, namely what kind of restaurant is it? What kind of tarfus is being served? So if it's a plate that's serving just plain plate old tarfus, just plain a tray for meat or something, so that's significantly better. Because non-kosher meat, of course, is also the achila, but it's mukum b'hanra. And there's a lot of derived benefit from tray for food. The only thing is that one is not allowed to derive benefit from basar b'chala. Meat and milk will cook together. So the resulting food is not only also the achila, it's also b'hanra as well. And the question now becomes, if I'm serving as a waiter in such an establishment, so could one argue that's really I'm really being nedef from the basar b'chala? It means the more that the person is buying, the more customers that are there, so that bas mechalav is directly or indirectly impacting my parnasa. So I'm not even 100% sure we can call that hana. Even worse, it's the worst case scenario. But that is considered to be hana. So the question is, would the halacha really be true? Would it really be asur? And the real question boils down to how exactly one defines bas mechalav, particularly for the purposes of hana. So the starting point is that meat and milk cooked together is for sure also the achilah, for sure also the vishal, also the chilah, also the ba'na'ah. But we're not 100% sure how we define what constitutes bas mechalav for these purposes. So let's see if we can begin to go through the sugya and try to come up with some ideas as to how to approach the shayla properly.
Black and restaurant.
Right, we're probably only apply to the owner. Right? The owner of the restaurant, right? I don't think the waiter would be over. Sorry, I don't think so yet. So the first of the Maimikamos is a Mishnah that appears towards the end of Masechet Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Pesai Behemah Tahora, Pechola Behemah Tahora. If you take a piece of meat from a kosher species of animal, and you take milk from a kosher species of animal, take cow meat with goat milk, or sheep meat with cow milk, whatever it is, Asa Levashal Va'asa Vanah. So that, Al Zen Nehmar, that's what the Torah is referring to, that is called Basa B'cholov. And it's also in a Torah to cook it together. It's also in a Torah to eat it. Obviously, it's also in a Torah. We assume to get hanah from it as well. But now things start to get a little bit trickier. Beside the hema tahora, the chala the hema tamea. What if I take cow's meat, kosher meat? If I take camel's milk, I take cow's milk. So I take a non-kosher species of milk, or vice versa. Beside the hema tamea, the chala the hema tahora. What if I take a non-kosher species of meat? So the Tzav Behemah Tamei doesn't mean not kosher meat. It means not kosher species. It means it's chaza meat, it's cow meat, it's horse meat. And I cook that together with cow's milk. And there's no isser of cooking on that. And there's no isser of deriving benefit from that. Because basically that is not called basar b'chalav. That the Torah prohibition of basar b'chalav is it has to be kosher meat in kosher milk. If one of those two factors are missing, that is not called basar b'chalav. Obviously, the Mishnah didn't say mutar b'achila. It's obviously also b'achila because it's trade for meat, because it's non-kosher species of meat or it's non-kosher species of milk. But in terms of the added dimension, the added component of basar b'chalav, neither the iser bishul nor the iser hana applies because we're dealing with the non-kosher species. Rabbi Akiva oimer chayv of eina min haTorah. Rabbi Akiva adds on another important piece of information. Not for us to give a general knowledge about basar b'chalav. That bas mechalav min haTorah, according to the view of Rabbi Akiva, doesn't apply to wild animals. Let's say you cook a chai, you cook deer in milk, that would not be bas mechalav. Or if you cook chicken in milk, that would not be bas mechalav min haTorah either. The Akiva says that the Yisro of Bas Bechal is repeated three times in Chumash, one in the last week's Parsha Mishpatim, one in a couple of weeks from now in Kisisa, and one down the line in Parshas Re'eh. So why does the Torah repeat it three times? To teach us these three exclusions. But not everything is included, only something that's similar to Gedi. Now, again, the Yisro of Bas Bechal doesn't only apply to goats, it applies to other kosher meat as well, but the Torah does use the model, uses the illustration of the goat, to highlight the fact that it has to be very, very similar to a goat, very, very similar to a Gedi. And therefore, if it's a wild animal, it's not included. If it's a bird, it's not included. And if it's a behemoth today, it's not included either. So this is the source, at least according to the Akiva for the din, that it has to be kosher species meat with kosher species milk. Cook it together. That is Bas Bechal d'Oraisa. Anything else is not included. But now the Gemara begins the sugya, the second of the Mamakamos. It sounds very, very similar to this, but there's a very, very important difference. Here, it's very hard to read this Gemara without the kudos, so I'll tell you what the kudos are. Itmar ha-mevashel chelav becholav. The first word is chelav and the second word is cholav. Otherwise, you're just reading ha-mevashel cholav becholav. You're scratching your head, what's going on? So basically, you take a piece of chelav, a piece of prohibited fat, which is what we would call colloquially treif. Obviously, you're not allowed to eat it. And you take a piece of that chelav and you cook it in cholav. Now, obviously, you're taking non-kosher food. The chelav is non-kosher. But unlike the case of the chazir, it is coming from a kosher species of animals. So here the Gemara is raising a whole other question. We're within the right family of animals. We have the right animal on the table, but we have the part of the animal that's not technically kosher to eat. Would that be subject to Bas Bechalav or not? Now we can almost substitute the word nevela for the word chalav as well, because the Gemara explains that the same discussion would be if you take a piece of cow's meat that wasn't shechted properly. If you take cow's meat that wasn't checked properly, it's a kosher species, but it's technically not kosher. Would Bas Bechalav apply to those kinds of foods as well? Now, this is already coming to a little bit closer to Ashayla, because if you go to a non-kosher restaurant, they are serving non-kosher meat. Are they serving chazer milk? Possibly. But they may be serving beef and milk also. So beef and milk is not the first Mishnah, because the first Mishnah is talking about chazer and milk. So if you go to a restaurant that's only serving chazer, you can be the waiter there, believe it or not. Chazer restaurant, it's just pork, bacon, that's okay. That you're allowed to be a waiter at, because chazer is mutter b'hanah, and it doesn't become bas b'cholav. It's not a kosher species. But the problem for us is that cow's meat, steak, beef, regular cow's meat, which, although obviously you couldn't eat it because it's nevela, because it wasn't checked properly, but it does come from a kosher species. So does Bas Bechalav apply or not? So that's the Shah. That's the Vashu Chelav Bechalav. So Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asim, Charam Aloykin. So one said if you cook the Chelav in the Cholav, you chay Malchus, for cooking Bas Bechalav. The Charam Ein Aloykin. And the other one says, no, you're not subject to Malchus. And the Mezzel Lame of Alka Miflagi. Let us say that what they're arguing about is the following point. The man of Yom Aloykin, the one who says that you are chay Malchus, Kasavar Isser Chalal Isser, that maybe the machlokes is about a very, very important topic. It permeates many, many sugars in Shas, called Isser Chalal Isser. Namely, if an object, if an item is already also for reason A, and now reason B is trying to kick in as well, can reason B apply? Can we say that one Isser can, once you have something that's also for one reason, then no subsequent Isser can be Chal? It's also for one reason alone. What do I say? No, it's a chalal isser. Just because it's also for one reason, it can be also for a second reason as well. So here you have a classic example of this. You have a piece of chalal, or you have a piece of nevela. Lamaisa, you can't eat it anyway. Lamaisa, it's also nechila anyway. It's straight, it's not kosher. And now I go ahead and I cook it with milk. Is that called bas b'chol or not? So one opinion says, ain isser chalal isser. The isser of bas b'chol can take hold on the isser of nevela, or can take hold on the isser of chalal. So therefore, it's asur. You obviously can't eat it, but you can't eat it not because of bas b'cholav. You can't eat it because of nevela, because of chelav. So if you subscribe to the view of einis achelav isur, bas b'cholav doesn't apply to non-kosher food. If you hold that kain, yesh is achelav isur, then the second this one would take effect. The Gemara goes back and forth and back and forth and finally concludes that it's really not much of a machloekes, because there are really different aspects of bas b'cholav. If we're talking about the Isra Chilas Bas B'cholav, the person wants to know, Rabbi, I cooked not chazer, I cooked chelav, I cooked nevela from the cow with milk. Rabbi, am I allowed to eat this because of basmal chol? Don't tell me I can't eat it because it's chalav. I know that. I want to know, am I chai malchus for eating basmal cholov? The Gemara says, probably not, because ain't a chalav. Listen. But what if the person asks, Rabbi, can I cook it together? So the answer is, no, you can't do that, because there's no issur to cook nevelas. There's no issur to cook chalav. So when it comes to the issur of dishol, this is not ein issachal nisr. There was no pre-existing nisr. So we have a strange split lahalacha. Now, when it comes to the issur achila shabo, so then we have to turn around and say there's no basmal chol in this because ein issachal nisr. When it comes to the issur dishol shabo, then we say, yep, there is an issur basmal chol because the first issur didn't really exist. There was no issur levashel chel or levashel nevelas. So that's what the Gemara concludes. That's the answer to the question. So if I take non-kosher meat from a kosher animal, take non-kosher piece of beef, cook it in milk, so yes, that's a violation of cooking meat and milk together. But no, it's not a violation of eating meat and milk together. Of course, this leads us now to the obvious question. Where does Hana'ah fit into this picture? What's the halacha concerning Hana'ah? Do we say that vis-a-vis Hana'ah, so the Isra Hana'ah would take effect because there's no previous Isra to prevent it? Or do I say no? That for some secret reason, some deep dark secret, Israel no wouldn't apply as well. So that's our shayla. Halacha l'maaseh, that's our shayla. The person who wants to be the waiter. The person who wants to get the job as a cook in a non-kosher restaurant, and he's going to be called upon to cook bas b'cholov, that's for sure also. That's not a shayla. You cannot cook bas b'cholov even if the meat is kosher meat. That's for sure. That's an issa deraita. And you can't hide behind an issa chalisa because there's no issa to cook non-kosher meat. On the other hand, you obviously can't eat basa b'cholov, if it's the sign of Eila, not because of basa b'cholov, you can't eat it because it's not kosher. But what I want to know is, can I feed it to my dogs? Can I give it to a non-Jew? Can I have a job serving it and make money, make my parnasa off of it? That's the shayla. Does the Isra not kick in, or does the Isra not kick in? So there is a Rambam, I put originally the Rambam on the Rambam Kamos, but it was a hard Rambam, it wasn't a Rambam Mishnah, it was a Rambam tucked away in the Parashat Mishnayos. So for whatever reason, the person who prepared the Rambam Kamos apparently wasn't able to copy it properly, so we got lost in the shuffle. So I'll try to share just the part that's most critical for us in the Rambam and the Parashat Mishnayos. The Rambam and the Parashat Mishnayos Krisos, but the Rambam and the Parashat Mishnayos developed the following yesod about Basa B'cholav. The Rambam basically says that the main issur of Basa B'cholav is the eating of the Basa B'cholav. First, you have to paskin, is it also the achila? If and when you paskin that the issur achila takes hold, then we can negotiate whether it's also Hana'ah. You can't start the other way around. You can't have something that's only Bas B'cholov vis-a-vis Hana'ah, not vis-a-vis Achila. Therefore, the Rambam says, if you have Nevela, I have a cow that wasn't shechted properly, I take a piece of beef, cook it in a pot of milk, is there an Isser Achila's Bas B'cholov? No, because they missed the Chalalissa. Because since the original meat was Osir anyway mitam Nevela, so the Isser Achila's Bas B'cholov didn't kick in, argues the Rambam, if the original Isra Achila Bas B'cholov doesn't kick in, then the Isra Hana'ah Shabo doesn't kick in either. And this beef cooked in milk, it's also the Achila, obviously, because it's Neveva, but it's Mutta B'Hana'ah. And therefore, according to the view of the Rambam, it would be perfectly acceptable for the person to be the waiter, Mamish and McDonald's and Burger King, whatever trade store, no matter what they're serving, it doesn't matter, since they're not serving kosher meat. They're serving non-kosher species of meat. Of course, it would be a very, very strange flip to the Shaila. What if you had a store that's using kosher meat, mamish pesach shchuta, and nebuch, chmolasun, they're cooking it together with milk, and you're working in such a store? I don't want to be making a lot in any particular stores, but there are such stores that do exist in some places in the world.
In America, you sell the back part of the animal anyway. You
have
shechted kosher.
Yeah. Right. But there, you know, I go into... Correct. If I go into any given McDonald's in America, the odds that they got it as the leftovers from the chesish shchitas are highly unlikely. I'm going to love that. If I go into McDonald's in some other places in the world that are only using kosher meat because they can't even get that kosher meat if they want to, so Nebuchadnezzar using kosher meat to cook it together with milk, you've created bas b'chol derayis and b'chol deis, and that would actually be also b'chol. So it would be an interesting split. You could be a waiter in McDonald's in America, but perhaps in some other place, maybe you wouldn't be able to. I don't even make a lot in a place in the world. But there are other McDonald's that would be awesome to be a waiter in because that would be mamash nenem is also the call of their eyes. So, I don't want to say it. Okay. This is all following the view of the Rambam, assuming that this is correct, that when we analyze the Yisr Bas Mechala, we really look at it through the eyes of Achila, and then we say, well, by the way, if there's no Yisr Achila, then there's no Yisr Anah either. That may not be accepted. That may not be accepted by all. The Arishanim who don't accept that. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Poskim in the bottom of Shulchan Aruch quote this as almost like a snake of the beetle. We're not really sure what the din is. Is this really Asr Bano or not? So some Achranim make it outright, like it's an explicit Rambam that it's okay, and others point out, there's a Telesim Chum that probably disagrees. Others are not so convinced. Others would not be so quick to be makel. One of the common applications of this is concerning pet food. Many of the dog foods are a real bona fide bas mecholof. It means they take meat, take beef, and they cook it together with milk, and then they feed it to the dogs. So that would be subject to that machlokes the Rambam and the other Rishonim. According to them, if it would be chazer cooked together with milk, that would be great, but they don't make it that way. The dogs like the high quality, like the beef. So that would be, according to the Rambam, not bas mechol of the Arai. So therefore, it would be bas bano. If you don't disagree with the Rambam, that would be a problem. So you tell people ask me, people know we're enough of this issue. So tell them they should try real lechatchila not to buy the regular dog foods. They should buy the dog foods that are made with chicken. There are certain dog foods that also wash the cholesterol. So they have some dog foods with the chicken in them. So chicken is much better because we learned before, the chicken is not bas mechol of the Arai. It's only midirabanan. And the Gemara says that if you showed him right, that if it's only the Rabbanon, then they never created an Isur Hanor. So if you have chicken and milk together, that you can feed to the dog, you can sell to the guy, you can work in, if you're working in a Kentucky for a chicken, that's your chicken together with butter or something, that would be okay, because that would only be Basuchov, the Rabbanon, the Cholodeus, the way we pass it, and therefore that would be Botub Hanor. So that would be one option. So again, those who want to feed the dogs regular dog food with beef and milk together with relying on the Shittas Rambam, those who don't want to rely on that Rambam because Tosfos disagrees with it, so it would be machmir to get either chicken, or there are some dog foods out there that are actually under hashgacha, not that they're kosher, but that they're free of bas mecholof. A certain company, someone actually brought me one of these cans. It says on a big bold letter that this is not kosher because they used trace meat for it. Nobody should think that's permissible for human consumption, but it is guaranteed to be free of bas mecholof. And I think for good luck that you own that free of chametz also. It helps the people in Pesach time because chametz is also offered. So, in case you're interested, in case you have a day. I remember years ago in one of the malls here, there used to be a pet store and a pet food store. And I remember whenever my kids were little, they used to like to, my wife was shopping or something, they had to figure some time to waste in the mall. So I take my kids, they would love to look around with the animals in the store, but I would always go over to the food and keep myself up to date, because sometimes people call me and ask me which brands of, so I was like on top of it, Alpha. Yeah, this morning I was like, people were shocked that I knew about it. I used to make mental notes when I would read them. You could tell that we reached the point of boredom in the mall. When you're shopping too long and you're reading the back of the Alpha box, that's not a good sign. Okay, anyway, getting back to this thing. So this is only...
You know what went around, this is the same problem if you always... some stock in a non-kosher restaurant?
Yes, that's the general question about owning stock, just how much hanor is that considered to be. So it's usually assumed that a person owns a minuscule amount of stock. We don't really consider that to be neh-neh. That may be more of a problem, yeah.
And what?
I'm assuming, no, but that's not relevant to most people. Okay, but this is all assuming that we're dealing with Boston Club. We're pulling about is it kosher meat? Not kosher meat. Is it real bas mecholof? But there's a whole other side to the shaila as to we're not even 100% sure that we really, really have bas mecholof here for the following reason. So the Gemara in the third of the Maimakamos has a fascinating discussion in the beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin, which touches on many, many different areas of halacha. It's a sugi called Yesh in the Mikra, Yesh in the Masoira. Yesh in the Mikra, Yesh in the Masoira refers to the following, that in the Torah, obviously, there are no kudos in the Sefer Torah itself. How do we know how to pronounce any given word? So we have a tradition. This is the way we're pronouncing it from the Sefer Moshe Rabbeinu. This is how you pronounce a certain word. But every once in a while, you get a word in the Sefer Torah that's spelled in a certain way. And how do we know how to spell it? It's also, we have a tradition in Ishri Pishat Moshe Rabbeinu, how to write the Sefer Torah. So most of the time, the spelling, the pronunciation, the spelling match up. But every once in a while, you have a word that's spelled one way, and we have a tradition, we have a Messiah that it has to be spelled that way, and if you spell it in a different way, the spell is as possible. On the other hand, we also know by tradition how to pronounce it. So say, for example, the Torah says, Basukos Teishu Shivas Yomim. So if you would just look at the Sefer Torah, you would probably mispronounce that word and say, Basukas Teishu Shivas Yomim, because there's no Vav there. It's written by Lashon Yochin. Or say, the Torah says, Lekachtem Lachem Yomim Pri Etodar kapastamarim. You didn't know that the correct pronunciation is kapostamarim. You probably misread it. Say kapastamarim because there's no vav there either. So the Gemara says that every once in a while you have a word that it really makes a difference. Sometimes it doesn't make much of a difference. Sometimes it makes a big difference. Basukas and basukos, kapas and kapos, that's a big difference. One is Lashon Yachid, one is Lashon Rabim, and there's different potential halachic ramifications. So you don't raise the shayla again. Does the halacha follow the mikra? Does it follow the mesira? Does the halacha follow the way we know the word is pronounced, or does it follow the way the word is written? The Gemara wants to bring a raya to this shayla. The Gemara says in the third of Mamakamis, Masla Bachamayachim, Mika the Laysayash and the mikra. Can anybody possibly say that you don't follow what the pronunciation is? Vatanya, Vacholev Imo, Yachol Bechelev, Amos Yeshem Mimikra. The Torah says, Losavashel Gediba Cholev Imo. How do you know how to, what that word means? Ches Lamadei. The word Ches Lamadei can mean multiple things. It can mean milk, it can mean fat. Chelev is fat. Cholev, some of the words, it's Cholev Imo. How do you know? Maybe the Torah said you're not allowed to cook meat and fat together. Vishtei, the Chumash, not allowed to cook meat and milk together. How do you know? So the Torah says, how do we know? Because that's the way we pronounce in the words. It's the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's obviously a raya that halacha follows what the mikra is. It doesn't matter what the mesorah is. Just because it's written in a certain way, that reading is meaningless in halacha. It has to be the way we traditionally pronounce the words. So, comes the Gemara in the fourth of the Maamar Kamos and says, it was an interesting proof, but it's not a conclusive proof. The Gemara says, that's not really why. It could be that normally you do follow the way things are written. Maybe that halacha does follow the way it's written in the same Torah, not how it's pronounced. And that would still not lead us to that erroneous conclusion that Ches Lamedes means Chela. Why? So the Gemara is a very cryptic answer on the fourth of the Rambam Kamos. Elam Ravach Amrei Ravika. Amar Kvel Lo Sivashel V'di Derech Bishol Asa Torah. So comes the Ravach Amrei Ravika and concludes, there's no way anybody could logically argue that the word Ches Lamedes in Chumash means, in this context, means fat. It cannot mean fat. You know why? Because the four words, Derech Bishol Asa Torah. And therefore, it must mean milk and it can't mean fat. You thought that the only way to get to the proper interpretation of the word Ches Lamedes is through the vehicle of Yeshem Mikra? Not true. It doesn't commit us to Yeshem Mikra. There's another way we know it to be true because of Derech Bishol Asa Torah. What in the world does the word Derech Bishol Asa Torah, what does that have to do with anything? How does that teach us what the translation of the word Ches Lamedes is? So in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, Tosfos quotes Rashi. Rashi says, Uvachelev, Eino bishul ela tigun kidepirish bakuntres. If we're going to play devil's advocate, we're going to translate ches lamedes to mean fat, the Torah would never have written lo savashel gedi, because bishul by definition means a liquid. You can cook a solid in a liquid. Meat in milk is cooking. You cook chicken in water, that's called cooking. You cook an egg in water, that's called cooking. You take a piece of meat and you put a piece of fat on top of it and you turn on the fire, that's not cooking, that's frying. If the Torah wanted it to say fun, it would have said, Lo tetagein, gedi, b'chalev imam. So it doesn't say, b'chalev imam, I'm sorry. So the Torah never meant to say frying. The Torah said cooking. So by definition, cooking means a liquid. That liquid is mishkan cooking. That's Tosa's first interpretation, quoting from Rashi. Then Tosa's quotes a whole other complicated shot. It's the second line, the end of the second line, the Yeshua version. Derech bishul asa Torah, the below bishul shari, they bishul asa, the fugichir of the blabach, that the Torah writes Lo Savashel, implying that because you cooked it together, now you have trouble. Before you cooked it, all ingredients are kosher. Well, if Ches Lamedes meant Chelev, then the ingredients weren't kosher. Chelev is not permissible to eat. So the very word, Lo Savashel, Diva Chalevimo, the Derech Bishul Asa Torah is not addressing liquid versus solid, but rather simply indicating to me that all ingredients on the table must be kosher ingredients in order for the Yisra of Lo Savashel to kick in, therefore proving to us beyond a shadow of a doubt Cholav is cholav, cholav is not chayt. But let's focus on the first house. Oh, excellent, very good. So the later posts can say that deep frying is pot cooking, because what's the difference if you cook something and you drown it in water, you drown it in oil, it's the same thing. The tigun that Tosh and Tosh is talking about is taking a piece of fat and kind of smearing it on the pot and then throwing some meat into it or something. So the first day, Tosh said a tremendous, tremendous fish that the second test may not accept, namely, Bishul, by definition, always means liquid. And if you have two foods, even though one we would colloquially call fleishik, one we would colloquially call milchik, if that milchik food is not a liquid form, that is not basa b'chol of the arayza. in order to be lo sevashal gdi, for the Yisra Hanot to kick in, for the Yisra Bishal to kick in, it has to be derech bishul lo satayra, which at least according to Rashi, the first dance also means a liquid. What would this mean for us practically? Sometimes in our minds, we have to conjure up the image, what's the most absolute, highest possible form of bas mechal we can think of? If it is not at the table, it's a cheeseburger. Cheeseburger, I'll tell you a secret, the cheeseburger according to the first damn Titus is not even bas mechal. Bas mechal deraisa. I didn't say to eat it, but it's not bas mechal deraisa. You know why? Because it's derech tigun, it's derech frying, it's derech grilling, it's derech roasting, whatever you want to say. And they're cooking, if you take a piece of meat and you fill up a pot with milk and throw the meat in and you cook it up, you get a sausage bas mechal deraisa. But if it's derech tigun, or derech filet, something like that, but for sure, the rabbanon. The rabbanon is also even if it's not cooked at all. You take a cold piece of meat, a cold piece of cheese, and eat it together. That's bas mechal derabbanon. The bas mechal deraisa, the magic word derech bishul asatara carried today, and that means liquid, not solid. So according to Tosfos, that would be a tremendous lubitzchus on certain non-kosher restaurants. If those non-kosher restaurants are like the McDonald's Burger King style, where the bas mechal of in the menu of Burger King, but I imagine that the bulk of the menu is things on the grill. It's a grill kind of place. So that's a good thing. If you have to eat meat and milk together, eat the grill. But don't eat it cooked in a pot. If you eat something that's cooked in a pot, then you're up to food. So you have to check the restaurant menus. If the restaurant's only serving things on the grill, so it's only derech tigun, derech tzeis, at least according to one opinion, Mishael and Rashi, first the antithesis, there'll be no deraisa. There's no deraisa. There's no hanah deraisa. And the person can go back to being the waiter in the restaurant. If you're dealing with something which is cooked together, then you're in a much more serious situation. I remember we had a shot many years ago that somebody had won as a gift certificate from something, some free dinners to a particular steakhouse, to a Tracer steakhouse. Obviously, they wanted to go themselves. They wanted to give those free vouchers to the cleaning girl or something, you know, a token of appreciation. So the halach is that if something is also annoying, I'll give it to a guy. You to a boy, that's called hanok. Now the boy is going to do a better job. They're going to appreciate what I gave them. So that's called, that's the type of hanok. That would be a problem. So the shaila was, are those vouchers considered to be asav hanok or not? Are they providing food that's asav hanok? So what are they serving? The steakhouse. Apparently this particular steakhouse was known for steak and butter. That was its specialty. Steak and frying steak in this delicious yummy butter. And the question is that bas mechal deraisa or not? So there are two grounds to say it's not bas mechal deraisa. One is the first half of the shiur, and the second is the second half of the shiur. Going to the first half of the shiur, that particular steakhouse is a Tracer steakhouse in Riverdale, and they were not getting, to the best of my knowledge, most part of the robot, they probably were not getting the leftovers from the kosher butcher. So they were using some real Tracer steaks, not from a non-kosher animal, from a cow, but they were just not shechted properly, obviously. So those, the sign of Eila, Becholov, according to the Ram, still falls short of being bas mechal deraisa because ain't a chal lisser, and hanah can't kick in unless a chiva started. According to those who disagree, they would have problems with that. Then you have the second side lochel that was fried, and fried is derech tigun and derech bishul, so there wouldn't be bas mechal deraisa either. So those same two tzedadim lochel carry over to many, many of these kinds of shilas. So these shilas are for the people who want to work in the Burger King, and work in the restaurants, the grills, all the above kinds of shilas. So there is still a fake steak of your bagel. Toots gone into the bagel. Maybe it's with the basis of the Shittas HaRambam that it's non-kosher meat, so the Yisra was called those off the ground, and even if that's not true, like those first, you still have the other Tzad Lachel, like this Tzad in Sanhedrin, like the Rashi in Sanhedrin, that's only considered to be tzibur. Unless one wants to be machmer both. If you're machmer both of the Shalas, then you have a problem. But again, either one of those Tzadim would be correct to be bagel, so then one would have a right to be maker in the Shalas. That's all. I think that he's getting his parnasa based on what people are. So his tips may be. So the question is that too far? Is that too far removed? When someone's tipping me because of eating bas mechal, that called me being nenef the bas mechal. You have to think about what the love of the shishayla, what a tip is. Is a tip part of the salary, not part of the salary? The love of the shishayla, that's the question. Yeah, it's the same kind of shame.
Maybe he's not going to rob me, so he'll trace me.